Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Life.
Love.
And health.
I'm a huge fan of films, especially those by director Ridley Scott. You know, Blade Runner, Thelma and Louise, Black Hawk Down, and my favorite, Gladiator. There's a scene at the beginning of Gladiator that relates to our next guest, an expert on lost causes. Now, in that scene, the Roman legions, a professional, sophisticated, well-armed fighting force, are faced with a ragtag, ill-equipped collection of Germanic tribes. A unit commander turns to his Roman general and says, in the most dismissive, condescending, arrogant way, "These people should know when they are conquered." The general pauses and then wisely says, "Would you, Quintus, know when? Would I?" And then he rides off. How do you know when you're engaged in a lost cause? And even when people do, why do they stick around? Why don't they give up and live to fight another day? Our next guest may have the answers. She is Kat McGowan, a journalist who specializes in health and medical topics, who wrote Champions of the Lost Cause, which ran in Psychology Today. It's nice to have you on Life, Love, and Health, Kat.
Hi.
Why don't people throw in the towel? You know, they're against incredible odds. They don't have a chance. And they persist and often die in the process. Why do you think that is?
Well, hopefully most of the dedication to a lost cause doesn't have to be fatal. I think that's maybe happens more often in the movies than in real life. But I think we're all looking for something to transcend the kind of monotony and ordinariness of everyday life. There's actually a psychological theory that has been tested that looks at this phenomenon. It's a very common human need. It's called terror management theory, which is kind of a funny name, but it has to do with the idea that we're all, on some level, subconsciously very afraid of death, and we're looking for ways to affiliate ourselves with larger causes that will transcend our own puny human existence. And being devoted to a lost cause would seem to be the kind of dedication that doesn't really help, because after all, it is a lost cause. But the truth is that committing yourself to something much larger than your own life, especially if it's maybe futile, is really an ennobling prospect, or it can be something that turns you, that attaches you to something that is much bigger than your own day-to-day life or your own day-to-day concerns.
You say in the Psychology Today article that sometimes the true lost causes are more complex than obsessions. They're double-edged, blending psychic rewards with the guarantee, as you suggested, of defeat, whether through the rolled-up hormonal chemistry of unrequited romance, the passion for a struggling sports team, or the reinforcing ties of a community of fellow believers. Devotion to the cause brings pride, joy, and deep gratification, along with frustration. And I would also suggest meaning for your life. There are people who are looking for a cause, albeit a valid or lost cause, to identify with so they can feel they're making a difference, they're making a contribution, that their life has meaning and purpose. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think truly beneficial dedication to a lost cause expands your life. It makes it larger. It makes it more meaningful. The kind of obsessive lost causes, I think, are things that make you less of a person. But actually, the example that you cited from the movie, from Gladiator, is a fantastic example. I mean, that's the sort of movie version of it, which is, you're banding together with your brothers to fight this unwinnable war, you know? I mean, that's very, it's the most noble, you know, it's the legendarily noble thing to do, right?
Speaking of war, there is a book called War is a Force that gives us meaning. And this book was the basis, this book by Charles Hedges was part of the basis for the movie The Hurt Locker, directed by Catherine Bigelow. She was the first woman in the 82-year history of the Academy Awards to win the Best Director Oscar. The book examines the continuing appeal of war to the human psyche. Gosh, you know, you're writing for Psychology Today. Veteran New York Times correspondent Hedges argues that to many people, war provides a purpose for living. It seems to allow the individual to rise above the regular life and perhaps participate, as you suggested, in a noble cause. I was in Vietnam for about a year, and I can tell you it is very, very easy to get caught up in an event like this, which is so exhilarating and touches you in so many visceral ways in terms of never being more alive when you're on the edge of death.
I believe it. I've never had that experience, which I can be grateful for.
I wouldn't necessarily recommend it as a hobby, but a lot of journalists get into it. They became old Asia hands and went from war to war, and eventually, you know what happened? They died as they lived. Our guest is Kat McGowan, a journalist who specializes in health and medical topics, and she's the author of Champions of the Lost Cause, which appeared appropriately enough in Psychology Today magazine. Do you have any, well, you must, of course you have favorite stories from your article.
One of the, we were just talking about war and conflict, and those are the sort of extreme, larger-than-life examples. One of my favorite examples of a very ordinary kind of commitment to a lost cause is actually a young man named Michael who's actually got started in running the Immortality Institute and became really interested in longevity and life extension. So if you're not familiar with that world, there are a lot of people who are involved in science who really believe that we don't have to grow old and die, and that actually this ability to extend lives really for maybe dozens or even hundreds of years will be realized within our lifetime.
Well, there's even a cliche about that. I'm going to live forever, Kat,
exactly.
Or I'm going to die trying.
Exactly. I mean, it sounds, when I first started talking to him, I thought, that's so silly, it's kind of embarrassing. But actually, the more I talked to him, the more I was convinced that there is something ennobling about that pursuit. And I think it's true of science in general, and that's something I took away from this, from working on this article, is I think anyone who's trying to find the truth about something or trying to change what everyone else has taken for granted as just one of those painful realities of life, you could call that a lost cause, or you could call it
an obsession.
Or you could call it a really wonderful dedication to improving the world for the rest of us.
Well, according to the article, Michael has begun the paperwork necessary for having himself cryonically suspended, frozen for the future, should he die before the technologies that he believes will lead to a greatly extended lifespan become available. Death is just a technical problem, he says. People react strongly to the idea of living hundreds of years, but the body doesn't care if we think it's radical to preserve it. That does not sound unreasonable to me, and actually, he sounds quite sane.
He is extremely sane, and there are some very prestigious people who have lent their names and who've gotten interested in prestigious scientists who are really well respected within their own fields who have lent their influence to various longevity projects. It is a really logical extension of the kind of research that a lot of biologists already do.
Well, and it's not a bad hobby to have. I mean, what better hobby than yourself and living a long quality life? It sounds like I could interpret this as being a very, very responsible thing to do for your health. In fact, I believe that health is, frankly, our most precious and valuable personal asset. And he seems to be, walking his talk.
That's part of what convinced me that his cause was not as silly as maybe I thought it was at first, is that, you know, he realizes that this may not happen during his lifetime. So it's not just that he's signing up to get himself cryonically frozen. He's also a vegetarian, and he exercises, and he takes care of himself, and he does all of those things that we all know we should do.
Well, he sounds like a responsible individual. Our guest has been Kat McGowan, a journalist who specializes in health and medical topics, and she's the author of Champions of the Lost Cause, which appeared, in Psychology Today magazine. You can learn more about this article and Kat's work by going to psychologytoday.com and looking for the article Champions of the Lost Cause. Kat, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. Wonderful to be here.
I'm Christopher Springman, and this is Life, Love, and Health.